the hell picked this song? Heavy Metal Chris?
Landfill.
He did.
This sounds like Heavy Metal Chris.
Landfill picked this.
Is this your go-to, Chris?
Yeah, don't blame me for the Eagles. No, man.
Is this the Eagles?
No. I don't. This is not my pick. I'm just going to say that.
How do you feel about the Eagles, Chris?
That's just kind of boring boomer music, man. I don't know. It's like elevator music.
You know who's the Eagles are his favorite band by a wide stretch?
Who?
Chris Russell.
I can buy that. Listening to this song, that is Chris Russell.
I like the way Heavy Metal Chris
Russell is an old crooner.
Chris described it as boring boomer music.
He's an old crooner.
Let's start with Chris since we got him today. Chris, how you feeling about this Jaden situation? What do you think should happen Sunday, and how comfortable are you with Marcus Mariota?
I'm fine with Mariota if he needs to start. Of course, I'd love to see Jaden play. I think the Caleb matchup is pretty fun just as a fan of football just to watch. But if he's not ready to go, I don't think they should be forcing him. You know, this isn't like a we need this win and, you know, our season rides on it or nothing. So if he's not ready to go, let him sit. It's all right. I'm not gonna cry over it in 2 weeks. You know, it doesn't matter. So I'd love to see him play, though, if he can. You know, I don't think.
Yep. I think that's the ultimate thing, Chris. If he can play, play. But all these people that act like, oh, Lord, we can't let him play. You got to hold this guy. Bruh, this is football. And most people are never 100%. And football players don't think like fans. Coaches understand football players are different than fans.
How about, I mean, not to make a comp, but it sure looks like Tua's going to come back and play this week. And
a lot of people say they want about that.
Well, the whole world was like, oh, my God, he's got to retire. That football players, you know what they do? They play football, and they don't – there's a different mindset. And so I do think we all need to wrap our minds around if Jaden says he can go and he's medically cleared and DQ and Cliff and Peters and everybody watches him and says, yo, he's good, he's going to play.
I think people think –
he can't be 110%.
I think people think when you start saying – when we start asking the question, you know, do you want him to play – they think we're just saying he got to play because I can give a damn about a matchup with somebody. I care about if he can play, go out and play. I don't care about the matchup with Caleb Williams. Listen, I have never mentioned on this radio about the matchup with Caleb Williams. I care about if he's healthy or he can go, he can go. Don't worry about that matchup. If people that are thinking about the matchup or think that people are making decisions about the matchup are the fans. Not a coach in this building has thought about that damn matchup.
Well, they've thought about the matchup in what do they do on third down. They're watching tape.
They're like, not thinking about Caleb against right. Jaden. As Dan always says, that's like 2 weeks ago. He did not play against Lamar. He played against the defense.
Right.
And I think that's the ultimate thing. They act as if because we're discussing it, we're trying to force something. No. I said it from the beginning. If he can go, he can go. If he can't, he can't. That's it. It's no cut and dry with it. And it's about, well, you got to make sure he's 100%. Ain't nobody 100% ever. But the ultimate thing is, just like you think he can get hurt because something happened, he can get hurt at 100%. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So let's stop that, man.
I think the odds are he's probably not playing this week, but if he does, don't think that there's someone being irresponsible.
No.
Let's let Parrothead Drew kick things off from the Eastern Shore. Drew, what do you want to see this weekend? How comfortable are you in Marcus?
So there's kind of two things that are different this year that are influencing my decision and thought process on this. One is I trust the leadership of this team. So, you know, that goes a long way. What they say, I'm going to ride with because I believe in them and they've been doing a great job. And the second is, you know, I'm always an optimistic fan. I was looking for double-digit wins this year, but I had 5-3 as being a good mark after this game, and we've got a lock on that. Would I like to be 6-2? Absolutely. But this game is not as critical as it's been in the past at week 8 for us. So we got some flexibility. You know, for what I'm doing, I'm packing my Jaden Daniels and my black Terry McLaurin jersey to the game, and I'll make a game time decision based on what the team tells me, and I'll be happy either way.
Smart man. You'll be in the battle blacks, Drew.
Got you, bro.
Thanks, dude. Perfect. Good call. I believe this is Gearfax. Is this Jeremiah in Fairfax that we call Gearfax? Is that you, sir?
It is. It is Gearfax. That was a classic Jeff move right there, misspelling Fairfax. But good to be on the show. Good to talk to y'all. I think y'all did a good job acknowledging the obvious part. If Jaden's good to go, obviously everyone wants to see him play. but a football player will never be 100%. So in this situation, if it's up to me and he's 50-50, I am not a Commanders fan at heart, so I have a less emotional perspective on this. You were projected and would be happy with 7, 8, 9 wins at the beginning of the season. You're already well on track for that. He's still got 4 years left on his rookie deal. Do not rush this kid if he's still a little more banged up than he should be. You don't need a Joe Burrow situation where he was hurt a little bit earlier in the year, not the best O-line. Bang, there goes his ACL. Like, just don't rush anything. When he's good enough to play by his standards, he won't be 100%. Let him play. It's as simple as that. You got 4 more years on a rookie deal. Let the kid do his thing. Thank you.
See, that's the thing about what Drew just stated. Drew just stated he trusts the people, the decision makers. So anybody to call in and act like the decision makers are rushing him to play, you're fooling yourself. They're not going to make a move that's going to put him in jeopardy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but for those also on the other side who think you got to wrap him in some damn bubble wrap just because he did get hurt a little bit, you're tripping too, right? Because the ultimate thing is in every play, for 14 years, even before, every time I went on the field, I understood I could get hurt. But I did not go out there and run slower or run softer. I ran harder. You know why? Because if you're going full speed, you rarely won't get hurt. But little odd things happen, and it doesn't stop anything.
Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. How comfortable are you if Mariota is the QB this weekend? Landfill, I want to ask you that exact question, dude. Where are you at on the Jaden versus Mariota, who's going to play? And if it is Marcus, how comfortable are you?
Personally, I think it's going to be Mariota. I think that the kind of signals that we're getting are that Jaden's probably not going to be healthy enough to play. I do feel confident in the current leadership of the team that if Jaden plays, he's healthy. You know, in some previous years, I feel like they would have rushed the guy back just to have him back. But I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think that if Jaden plays, it'll be because he's healthy. But I think that Marcus is going to start. And after watching him last week, I feel good. I feel confident. I feel like they'll have a shot at winning. They'll have a decent chance if Marcus plays.
I do too. I mean, the Bears' defense is quite good. I think that's what folks got to be aware of here. They've got good pass rush. They've got good secondary. And the Bears' defense will be good regardless of who they're playing,
yeah,
right?
True.
And I think the way Washington runs the football, though, gives them a chance against anybody.
That would be a test for the Bears.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the way the Commanders have run the football this season will give them a chance against anybody, and I think you don't get away from that. And I think the way Mariota played last week, honestly, like, Marcus didn't look great in training camp throughout, and then he missed about a month and was put on IR. Mm-hmm. He missed the first four, and I think a lot of folks that have watched camp and all the throws were pretty surprised by how well he performed against the Panthers. And so I think there's a lot of positive momentum for him to keep going. And just his vibe is such that he is relaxed and understands that, you know, he's not living and dying with every throw. Uh-huh. And I think there's probably a level of comfort in he's not the guy here. And he's aware of the situation. He's not competing for more snaps. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he's brought here to come in if he needs to and perform and run the offense. And if not, you know, he's in a support role and in the quarterback room.
Yeah. Listen, man. The way I am about this whole topic is I think we're beating a dead horse. We've said everything you could possibly say. But you talk about things that are stories, and it's a story that's out there, and people are asking questions either way. Those want him to play, those don't want him to play. Those that think it's because, well, we got to see the matchup, those that don't give a damn about the matchup. But you're going to have to discuss it. If it was up to me, I wouldn't discuss anything because this is the reason, because the people that are in charge are doing nothing to jeopardize him.
Yeah.
You know, once you understand that, then the rest of it, I don't care. I don't care what the people outside this building are thinking. I don't care what fans that we got to see this matchup. We ain't got to see a damn thing. You know? I don't care about all that stuff. But the ultimate thing is once you trust the people, and I said this since you stated it early this year, The number one thing is to hire Peters.
Yep.
When they hired Peters, we done. If that's the number one, then done. You let the man go do his job. But, yes, every one of us that has a computer, a phone, a mic, or fingers, we think we know more than the man that's doing the job. I don't think I know more than the man that's doing the job. I will give my opinions based off of what I think. I will tell you little things about how guys think. But the decision makers are not nobody on the thread or anybody doing the show.
You don't think it's somebody on the thread?
That's going to make a decision?
Yeah.
Hell to the no.
You don't think the chat is in charge of who plays
quarterback? I'm going to give you the Whitney Houston. Hell to the no.
Mama Stu's always a great caller. Mama, how comfortable are you in Marcus, and what do you want to see happen on Sunday?
I'm fairly confident in him because you don't really have to change the playbook too much. I mean, we saw that Sunday. I was at the game Sunday, so, you know, it took him a little bit the first, you know, couple of drives to get going. But after that, I mean, he was cooking. And he is a well-oiled machine as far as being a veteran. And, you know, and I trust Cliff Kingsbury to call a good game. So I think we got a fair shot. I'm not too concerned on terms of, like, starting Jaden or not. You know, I'm with Brian. Like, if he can go, let him go. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know, because it's not so much about, you know, Caleb versus Jaden. That's for the NFL and ratings and money and all that kind of stuff. I don't care about that. I care that we got this guy for like 10, 15 years. And you never know. You may still get to see them in the playoffs. If we both make the playoffs, we may end up getting to see it. And that's when the real deal go down. So I'm not too concerned. If he's not, you know, if he's at 90% and his pain tolerance and all that stuff is okay, and you feel like he can go, let him go. But if not, I'm fine with whatever they do. I trust the brain trust. These guys have made smart decisions to this point, and based on what we've seen in the past as far as the players, like with Brian Robinson, he could have played against the Ravens, but they kept him out. They had another player that went down.
I think that's a good comp, too. I mean, Dorrance Armstrong, they haven't pushed back. Now, it's different. These aren't quarterbacks we're talking about.
Yeah.
But they have been very cautious with injuries, kind of thinking big picture. Thank you, Mama. Great call there. Let's sneak in Devon in Rockville here because he's got a different thought. Devon, how are you, bud?
What's up, family? Now, I think he's going to play for the simple fact of BQ preaching dog AFS mentality. And if all our speculations is right and it is just a pain threshold, like Big Bro been saying all week, if it's just a pain threshold, that it should be solely up to Jaden how much pain he can tolerate. It shouldn't be, I know you can tolerate it, but let's just sit you out one more week. Like, I don't think that doesn't embody dog AFS mentality right there. And I don't think that if it was bruised, broken, or really hurt bad, then they would have already ruled him out. And by that BQ saying he has to put his eyes on him and see, he didn't even practice yesterday. He's still been going through his treatment. So I think long as JD 85 can throw and still run and not compromise himself, I think he's going to play. And I think, like Big Bro also said, he played with cracked ribs and balled. And he was able to lift his arms and everything right after the game. Like, so it is probably just the pain. He's been resting. I think he's going to want to play. It's not about the Caleb Williams. He wants to go out there and show his team, too. Look, everybody been saying I'm too little. I'm tough as nails, though, and I'm going to put it out there on the line for my team. If he was really, really hurt, I don't think he would subject himself and put his team in a bad spot just to go prove something. I just don't think. I think by Mariota, though, playing the way that he did play, does give a little cushion and say, okay, we can let – but I don't like that. We can just let this week go. No, you go out there to win every game, and if he's available to play, man, go ball, man.
Good call. All right, brother. Thank you, Devon. If he's able to play, medically cleared, coaches like what they see, all that – play. I just don't know that you're going to get there this week, and that's okay too. Like, I don't. Mariota's not as good as Jaden, but I don't see a bad option because I think Mariota can run this offense. And I think, honestly, I don't know that we played this. I think I tweeted it out. Zach Ertz in the postgame locker room on Sunday. He wasn't led to this, but he referenced it that when did Ertz go to Stanford? I'm almost positive he went to Stanford. When Ertz was in college, he said they played against Mariota when he was in college. Yeah, Ertz was at Stanford. I think it was Harbaugh coaching back then. And he said he had never seen anything like Mariota as an opposing quarterback when he was running that Oregon offense.
Oh, yeah. He was unbelievable in college.
Right. And then he said, watching Marcus run our offense reminded me of Marcus in college.
Yeah.
Because it's just, there's a lot of freedom for the quarterback. There's a lot of movement. And I don't know that he's going to replicate I think he completed 73% of his passes, over 200 passing yards in about three quarters with two touchdowns and another 30 yards on the ground. I don't know that he's going to replicate that. But there are situations in the NFL when the backup comes in and you're dead. Mm-hmm. The backup comes in and you got no chance to win the game. That happens around the league. I don't think this is one of those scenarios.
I don't know if he can replicate it, but I can tell you this. The fact that he did it, I know he can. If he had never done it, then I wouldn't sit up here and have no hope. But he did it in that situation. You know what I mean? So he's shown now, yes, you may not believe, but it's in me somewhere. And just like Cliff runs his offense, he makes sure the quarterback is comfortable running the stuff that they're running. If they goes into a game like that, I got confidence in him.
Let's check out our guy, E.T. E.T., what you got? You cool with Mariota?
No, man. I'm worried about number 98 for the Bears. Everybody talking about Caleb. I'm worried about you. I'm a little late coming on the show. Anybody talk about Sweat?
Nobody's mentioned Sweat yet.
Nope.
I mean, let Jada heal. We good. And I don't want to hear no quarterback controversy because he's the man. So,
man, well, you ain't going to hear that. So much. Yeah. That's a waste of time if I discuss that one.
Right. And then, you know, with the old regime, you know, when RGP hurt, he didn't want Kurt to come in. That's the reason he played. You know, Shanahan let RG3, you know, RG3 had that old snotter pool too, so.
Yeah, there's none of that now. Man. Especially, I mean, those guys were both rookies. There's none of that now.
So, yep.
But hey, you're worried about Sweat thing, in this game, huh?
I'm not.
Man, Sweat's it's a revenge game now. Remember that now? Did they treat him right?
The Montez Sweat revenge game.
People say that, but not every time you play an old team, you basically get revenge.
What, you know what I'm saying? He's going to play his, Brian, he's going to play his heart out. Gets his old team.
He's gonna try his best to play, and right now I think he and Chase together got four sacks.
Sweat so far has 2.5 sacks through six games.
Chase got 1.5, and Fowler has 4 sacks and an interception for the touchdown.
Yeah, I think you got to be cognizant of Sweat in this game. I'm not knocking that.
I'm not going to revenge game worrying about Sweat.
We'll keep the phone lines going. Expect to hear from Cliff Kingsbury at 11:45. Nobody. Go anywhere.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Shout out this Fat Poet 10 said, Devon from Rockville had an awesome call. I love it when B-Mitch drops and I don't give a damn. Good show. Hope we get the rooster today. Have we ever had a request for the roost, Landfill?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Burgundy shirt.
The Rooster's a huge diva, though, so I don't know if we'll be able to pull it off.
He's getting a little popular, man. He's starting to get a little too big for us.
I don't know that people recognize. Dealing with Chris is like dealing with Antonio Brown or like Terrell Owens in his prime. Like, you got to get him the ball. You got to make sure that the temperature is how he likes it. Like, it's a complicated Le'Veon Bell situation.
He's just
picking
fights with people for no reason.
He has. I think it's because he's rich. I think he's amassed so much wealth and oversized cups. That, you know, he's got it made. So, I don't know. Consider this an open call if the Rooster's available, but I understand he's a busy fella, so I don't want to mess with him. Mm. The question, though, you want to see Daniels? Are you cool with Mariota? It's an interesting situation. We'll get to hear from Cliff, who will probably say as little as possible, but still, it will be interesting. Line 4, Sean in Rockville. Sean, what do you want to see this weekend?
Hey guys, how are you?
We're good, bud.
So as far as Jaden Daniels goes, he's already proved that he can play in this league. So just let's do a hypothetical. So say they reevaluate him and it turns out to be a lot worse of an injury than they thought, and they have to keep him out for 3, 4, 5 games. I'm happy with that. Simply for the fact that we've been playing with house money at this point because of the fact that everybody has thought that we were going to be in the bottom of the NFC East. Everybody thought that we would win 4 games. We've more than exceeded that expectation. So, and not only that, Quinn has said, if it turns out that he can't play, I'm not going to rush him back. And it's not just about Jaden Daniels. I'm not going to rush any player back to put them in the position to re-injure or re-aggravate whatever injury that they have to keep them out at long periods of time. And, you know, we could run with Jeff Driscoll at this point. I don't really care because we've already exceeded everybody's expectations. We've already proven that we can stay with any team in the NFL. We can play with any team in the NFL. So if they think Jaden can play, great. But if they got to keep him out 3, 4, 5, 6 games, so be it. We'll run with who we run with, and hopefully we'll win some games. And if not, then we look forward to next year.
I totally agree with you, Sean, but if he can play, I want to see him play too.
Yeah, man. My only pushback, Sean, is they have outperformed expectations, right? They've outperformed, or they're on their way to outperforming, like the win total, the Vegas numbers, etc. You know whose expectations they haven't outperformed?
Probably theirs.
Jaden's and Cliff's and Terry's and Dorrance's. Like, you know. You don't become
athlete. We think our thought process is the standard. That's not the standard.
They want to win every game and go to the playoffs and get to the NFC Championship. And I think you got to separate what, damn, everybody here is excited. So if Jaden misses 5 games, that's okay because you get 5 years of it. Football seasons are finite resources, man. And every year crazy stuff happens. You know, if you would talk to the Niners fans in August, they sure as hell didn't think they'd be 3-4. Mm-hmm. And if you would talk to Jets fans, you think they thought they'd be 2-5 with Rodgers finally healthy and have already fired their coach? Like, these things, nobody had the Vikings 5-1. You cannot take for granted when you do have success on the football field and try to push in. That doesn't mean you push your chips forward in a manner that is reckless towards your future, but you damn sure try to win games now.
100%.
It's a good call, though.
Yep.
I'm enjoying the calls. Strong calls today. Rusty is in Delaware. What up, Rusty?
What up, Rusty?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good morning.
We're chilling.
Hey, I am so glad that I was up next after you made a comment about the Jets, JP, because real quick, I just want to give a shout out to one of my close personal friends who rang the bell this morning after beating his battle with throat cancer. And he is a Jets season ticket holder from here in Delaware. And he's been going through it. So he needed that today.
Glad you're better, buddy.
Yeah, man. I talked to him this morning. He's so pumped up. He's already back at work. He's ready to go.
Good stuff.
Do I want to see Jaden? Absolutely. But I'm not Dan Quinn or Adam Peters or a doctor either. So whatever they decide is what they decide. Do I want him to miss 5 or 6 games? I don't know about that either. But I would, I mean, especially for some ribs that aren't broken. But, you know, if he doesn't go and Marcus has to do it, it looks like Marcus can get his feet under him and go. But what I'm excited about, and hopefully this does happen, where I am at right now is in Dover, Delaware, which is the home of Jordan McGee. And I really hope to see Jordan McGee active on Sunday when I am at the stadium being another Delaware boy. So that's who I want to see play this weekend. Of course, I'd love to see Jaden. But if Jordan gets a chance to step on that football field, another Delaware kid in the NFL, that's what I'm looking forward to.
All right.
Shout out to Jordan McGee. We'll
right,
see.
Let's I go, mean, Jay.
He's on the active. He'll
Hell
get a
yeah,
chance.
He's ready to rock.
Thank you for the call, Rusty. I wasn't expecting the Jordan McGee call during quarterback talk.
Hey, but you know.
That's what's cool about
the world.
See,
some people are overall – people care about the whole team, not just that one position. That one position is important. But people want to see the whole team improve.
Billy's in Gaithersburg with a wacky idea. What up, Bill?
You up, Billy?
William, you there?
Hello? Damn. Hello? What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, brother?
What's up, dude?
Man, what's going on, guys? I'm feeling good for this weekend. I believe Jaden's going to start and probably put us up very quick against the Bears, and eventually we'll probably feel some discomfort, and I think Mariota's going to finish the game.
Walk me through this. Hello? You think Jaden starts, gets a lead, then feels discomfort, then they put in Mariota?
I believe that's how it's going to play it out. Not that I want that. I would like Daniels to start and finish the game, but I think the competitor in him is going to get into Canberry and Coach Quinn, and I think they're both going to go with his instinct.
Well, thanks for the call, bro. I think everybody's got to be kind of grown-ups here, and if there is a chance that happens, like, a lot could happen if he takes a hit or the rib gets crunched or he gets pulled. Like, things can always happen in the flow of a football game.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know that you want to start in a situation where that could occur. And that, like, it is important we remind ourselves, Dan Quinn's first words on this thing were week to week, not day to day, week to week. Mm-hmm. And I think they are viewing this in that prism of week to week. We're going to know a lot more, honestly, 1 o'clock if we see Jaden. Yesterday we didn't even see Jaden. Let's see exactly how this unfolds out there when we return. Joe Witt, Cliff Kingsbury, the Commanders, coordinators, live on B. Mitchell Finley. B. Mitchell Finley live in Ashburn, Virginia. We're not going to waste any time. The Commanders' defense has Caleb Williams coming to town. And as much excitement as there is here about Jaden Daniels, the folks in Chicago are that fired up about their rookie quarterback. Right now, at the podium, Commanders' defensive coordinator, Joe Witt, Junior.
What it's supposed to look like, and so now it has to stack it. All right, it has to be every weekend, and I feel like that it will be. And so, with that, I'll take any of your questions.
Differently, or was there some sort of breakthrough that led to turning the ball?
They caught the ball. Tay's play. To be honest with you, Tay had an interception in the same part of the field in practice. He didn't go score with it. And so we put it up there, hey, you're going to have opportunity on this call to go score. And it happened in the same area, and he scored with it. Forbes, man, it was just a really nice job of how he read that out. He read two going away with the coverage that we were in, was able to slide inside, and it sort of messed the receiver up because he read it so quickly. I think the receiver at the time just you know, stopped on the route, and Forbes went and got the play. So it was Jason Simmons and Tommy Donatello's just done a nice job of communicating how to pass routes and how to communicate it, and the players brought it to life. What is Caleb so far? Caleb, he is a very talented young man. You see why, you know, he was regarded the way that he's regarded coming out. I have the same respect for him. He can throw the ball from the pocket. He can throw it on the move. His arm contortion, where he can get the ball out from different angles, is really impressive. He can escape inside and outside. When he sets his feet, he can make any throw in the book. So he's a talented young player that's going to be good for a long time in this league.
Last
Say it again, please.
Caleb, just his improvement in
what they've done, you know, offensively from the first two games to now. And so, you know, they're not necessarily running the same concepts that they ran early on that he had some issues with. So that's where he's improved at.
I want some credit for the money.
That was a very nice catch. You know, the ball is life. Yeah. The mic is life, yeah. I probably haven't highlighted him enough coming in here. He's a very physical player. Dante's always going to play on the edge. He's going to give you everything he has. But he has real juice to be able to get to the quarterback, move the quarterback. He's a guy that I don't necessarily have to pressure with when he's on the field. I know he's on the field. We can be more of him in a four-man. I don't have to bring five elements with him on the field because he has the ability to beat the tackle. So I've been pleased with Dante, the physicality and the way that he plays. He's a lot like Usen in that way that he's always going to run through people. And if I tell him to run through that wall, he's going to hit it hard. Every game you're going to have eligibles that are premium players, and they have a number of them. You know, I think Moore is just a really good player that really hasn't got the credit over the years. He's a good catch and run guy. I've had just so many battles with 13. He just over the years when he was at the Chargers, man, 2015, he came to Green Bay and gave us a day. And so just a lot of respect for those eligibles. And so we have to just do a good job because the running backs running well. The screens, they run the screens as good as anybody in football, especially with Swift and Moore. So, you know, we have to make sure that we do a great job of leveraging the screens. Screens play by 11 men. You know, we have to set the edges inside out. If they get their bigs out to block our littles, our bigs got to come tackle their littles, you know. And so we have to set the edge and be ready to go from that standpoint there. I just want to continue to play consistent, you know, ball. The thing that we did probably as good in that game as getting turnovers, we didn't allow a bunch of explosives. And that came from the communication. And so if we can eliminate the explosives, because we're tackling well, we're running, we're hitting, all right, and then we force the turnovers, get the ball back to our offense's hands, you know, that's going to produce wins, you know, and that's the energy that we're looking for and that we want to play with. Well, we're still looking, you know, it's still early in the process of getting him back and the fit and flow of how we're going to use him. So that's a process that we're trying to, you know, get because we're, you know, I feel that we're moving into a groove. And so we just have to make sure that we can put him in that groove and not slow anybody else down at the same time. So it's a process right now.
Forbes, like, what's the balance between trying to kind of grow him as a player and get the most out of him sort of long term and also have him have an impact on the field? And
well, you know, you can say Emmanuel, but it's all the players. We're trying to – first thing that we're trying to do is win, okay? And like I say each week, we're going to use the players that we feel give us the best chance to win that particular game. But we're a development team. You know, we do our EPP every day to make sure that we're getting guys better. And Emmanuel, you know, coming out of college, had a knack for the ball. So we know he has those ball skills. But I'm not going to try to single him out or anybody else. Every player we're trying to take as far down the journey individually as we can, with the number one goal as to win that particular game. So I'm not trying to dodge your question at all, but I'm just – that's how I see it.
Obviously, you didn't coach Montez Sweat at all when he was here, but he's here for a long time. What do you appreciate about his game and kind of the pass rushing ability? And
I couldn't tell you. I haven't watched Montez. You know, when I was in Dallas, I was on the other side, and I haven't watched him at all. So,
first game without John Allen, what was your impression of – kind of the guys who stepped up and were playing on the end?
You know, we talked about, you know, that's what, you know, when you have guys that get hurt or have to miss the game, other guys have opportunity to come in and play. And I thought they played well. I thought they played as a collective. There wasn't anybody out there trying to do anything individually, staying outside of what we were doing. And that's what we're going to have to do. You have a talented player like John that you're missing. It's not going to take one player. It's going to take multiple players to fill that void. And we do have the bodies that play well. I think Phil is playing some of his best ball here as of late. I've been telling him that. It might not necessarily show up on on the stat sheets, but he's a big man playing big. He's taking doubles. He's pushing people back. He's pushing the pocket. The things that we ask people, big people, to do, he's doing it. And then Johnny, I like to see, you know, just the juice that he can bring us to keep being electric inside. Well, you know, I don't think, you know, Michael has freed us up to do that as well in certain standpoints, you know. So the way that we're going to use Jordan and Frankie, you know, we've used Frankie all over the place anyway. So I don't think we've been limited much in that at this point. We use them everywhere, and whenever we need to feed the stud, we feed them. Quality. I mean, when I put the film on, we run and hit. All right, we might not be right all the time, and we're trying to get there, you know. But we run and hit people. If you put that film on from the last game, there was a play, it was a simple play that Frankie, they ran the ball to our right, and he didn't make the tackle, but he went, I think he hit the guard and whoever our shade was. He just threw his body in there. And that's what we want to be known for, you know, running, hitting, and turning the ball over. So that's what's been consistent.
B. Mitch Finley, that is Commanders defensive coordinator Joe Witt. Coming up next, you'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury. Nobody go anywhere.